Welcome to the DPCNP. I'm your host, Amanda Price, family nurse practitioner with 2 decades of experience, including 16 years as a business owner. Hey guys, today we are meeting with Penny Vachon, and she is a nurse practitioner out of Charleston, South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So tell me about your clinic. What's it called and how long has it been open?
So I own a practice called Low Country Wellness Center, and I opened it the summer of 17, so 6.5 years. When I first opened my practice, I opened as more of a holistic orthopedic office. That's my background, orthopedic surgery. Within a year, felt like I'd sold my soul to the devil. Made the swap in 2018 to what it is now, which is the direct primary care called Low Country Wellness Center. So rebranded everything and started over.
So in 2017, you were taking insurance?
Yep, teen. I went pure DPC. Best decision ever.
Yes. So how did you even find out about DPC? That seems so long ago.
It was. Yeah. I just, you know, I knew that I wanted the freedom to not be ruled by insurance. And I didn't know that there was a name for it. I just knew that I wanted to get out of the insurance game. And then spring of 2018, I became an autoimmune patient myself. And I realized that holistic autoimmune care was really crappy and started to dive more into what the self-pay world looked like. And that's how I came across the direct primary care movement. And by fall, I had closed my first practice and then reopened as what it is now.
That's great. So you mostly treat patients kind of functional medicine wise, or do you still incorporate traditional?
Yeah. So I tell everybody I'm the blend of Eastern and Western in my practice. I definitely think more Eastern, but you know, I have a pharmacy in house and I definitely prescribe as needed, but we use a lot of what I call root cause medicine. I don't like the functional term. I like root cause, and that's what we do. We nail down and drill down to why it's happening in the first place, find and fix the why, and lo and behold, there are no other things to chase. So I do have 2 other nurse practitioners that work for me. They're a little bit more allopathic. They're learning the root cause way, but they're still fairly new ground. We've got a blend of both.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about any employees that you had in your office, and how do you go about hiring a nurse practitioner into a DPC clinic? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so my first one, I hired, it would have been 2021, and she stayed with me for about 1.5 years and had to leave for family emergency. I put an ad on Indeed and I put an ad on LinkedIn, and she reached out on LinkedIn and said, it was a funny story that she had seen her chiropractor that day. She had told her chiropractor that she was looking for a new job as an NP. He said, you should go meet Dr. Penny. She's just up the street. She's an amazing nurse practitioner. She's got this cool practice. Michelle jumped on LinkedIn. She hadn't been on LinkedIn in 2 years. What came up then was my ad for the practice. So she reached out. She said, I think this is meant to be. Can I take you for coffee? And I said, yeah, let's go meet. And that was that. So I hired her and she gave me plenty of notice that she was leaving. We knew things with her mom were going south. So I had time to interview again and find a replacement for her, and hired Allison, and then added a third in the fall of last year. So,
and how many patients does everybody have?
So as a practice, we're sitting right about 700. I handed off about 100 to Stella when she joined in the fall. So I'm down around 200, and Stella's, 120, 130, and Allison's about 250, 260, whatever that math comes up to. And we've got some patients that just kind of see us as one-offs and stuff, so we don't really include them in our membership numbers, but they show up on our patient number list, if that makes sense.
What is your goal for everybody? How many patients do you see them maxing out at?
I'm at my cap, and the reason I'm at my cap is, in addition to running the practice, I also have a second practice. And so I split my time between clinic, and I have an energy healing and hypnotherapy practice. And so 200 is my number so that I can dedicate my time to both practices. Allison and Stella should easily both be able to go to about 400 to 500, depending on how many kids they have.
And do you have any other staff in the office, like medical assistants?
I have a full-time RN. I have a full-time office manager and a 3/4-time virtual receptionist from home. So my daughter answers our phones. She's given herself the title of patient coordinator, but she's really my receptionist. So.
Your daughter is?
Yep, my oldest daughter. And then my middle daughter is an LPN, and she helps out when we need her in the office. When Ashley, my RN, when Ashley's going on vacation or something, Haley will come in and help so that we're not scrambling in the office. She'll come and draw labs or do whatever we need her to do.
That's awesome. It's good to have family help.
It is. Yeah. And the girls have been part of the practice from the beginning. They've always, all three of my girls have always been involved some way or shape or form with the practice.
So I'm curious to know, how do you bring on a new nurse practitioner when you don't have a huge clientele just waiting for them to come on and immediately get money? So what does that look
Yeah,
like?
so that's what I was running into with Michelle in the beginning, my very first one. And the way that we did it was we did a basically eat what you catch kind of a thing. And so her job, was to help grow her own patient panel. I realized after her that that was not really her responsibility. And as a business owner, that should have been my responsibility. But the way that we did her pay was we did a 50-50 split. So whatever her membership was, we split 50-50 and encouraged her to bring on more members, and then we both just, equally got paid for it. And I realized that, not everybody is an extrovert and not everybody, business building is their thing. Not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So when I hired Allison, I said, you don't have to do any kind of marketing. That we will take care of that. You just take care of patients. So I pay Allison and Stella just a flat salary. And you eat a little bit of the cost in the beginning, but you make it so that it's mutually beneficial to everyone and they feel like they're getting a good value. And I think in the DPC world, because we don't have high income, you make that employment package look a little bit better with some other things. So, you sweeten the deal where you can.
Do you also cover their malpractice and
I do.
401k and
Don't do a 401k yet, but I cover everybody with malpractice. And then all of my staff gets pretty much unlimited PTO. We don't keep track of that. I tell them, if you need to take time off, take time off. Just remember you're part of a team and be respectful of that. We all cover for each other. And I do make them all take a long weekend once a quarter for their mental health. They can pick either a Friday or a Monday and take a long weekend off. And, there's lots of other things. They all get free health care, of course, as does their immediate family. And then we do a lot of supplements and herbals through the practice, so they all get discounts. They just basically pay wholesale plus taxes for whatever they want for, additional things and stuff. So, it's just, again, trying to sweeten the pot because I can't do it with high pay, so I sweeten the pot in other ways.
so all of the extra costs come out of your 50%.
So I don't do that 50% anymore. That was with my first NP. When she left,
Oh,
I changed it to just a flat salary.
okay. I got you. How did you come up with what the flat salary would be since they don't have to work as hard as a fee for service?
Yep. So we kind of looked at, what's the going rate in Charleston right now for an NP. And, they're not, I wouldn't say they're not working as hard because they're covering their own patient panel. So they're on call 24/7, just like I am.
Sure.
But, it's definitely a lot less involved in terms of they're not seeing 20 to 30 patients a day. On a busy day, we might see 10 or 12. So, we had that discussion about pay. Hey, here's what I'm willing to offer. And, here's why. And you want good work-life balance. You want to have a great supportive system where, I'm willing to train you in all the things that my 20 years of experience bring to the table. Then you're going to probably take a little less home in the beginning. The other way I do it is once they hit 200 patients on their panel, starting at patient number 201, get an extra $10 a month for every patient over number 200 on their panel.
Okay, that's nice. That's incentive.
Yeah.
Tell me how you went about getting educated in the root cause medicine.
So taken, I don't even know, course after course after course after course. I feel like you can't get too much education. So at any given time, I'm probably enrolled in anywhere from 7 or 8 up to 12, 15 courses. Drives my nurse crazy. So I just read everything. And I think part of it was becoming a patient myself. I was more motivated to learn that way and wanted to practice that for myself. So, it encouraged me to learn the more natural and holistic ways to treat my own autoimmune disease, knowing that, if I wanted that and I wasn't getting it, then surely people without my list of credentials were not having access to that level of care as well. So it really encouraged me to learn it for myself so I could get my own autoimmune into remission and then be able to use that for my patients as well.
I mean, isn't it so disappointing that our education system doesn't teach us root cause? Like,
Right.
they teach us which pill to give for every single thing. We have all these pharmacology classes, and then we think we're helping people when we're not helping them at all. We're not
Yeah.
even, we don't even know how to teach them how to eat. We don't know how to teach them how to use basic things that they might have around the house to help with congestion or their rash or whatever. And so it's been a learning curve for me, learning root cause. I call it functional medicine, but basically getting to the root cause of someone's problem and learning how to treat that instead of just being okay with writing a bunch of steroids all the time or sending them to a rheumatologist who's just going to put them on methotrexate or whatever.
Exactly. Yep. That's right. And, you know, I remember having a conversation in the early stages of my autoimmune journey with one of my specialists, and we kind of had a little fallout, and he literally rolled his stool up and got in my face and yelled at me, a grown woman yelled at me and said, as he's pointing his little pointy finger in my face, screaming at me, saying, "You make me feel like a moron." And I said, "No, you make you feel like a moron because you can only treat clinical boxes, and I'm not a box. I'm a freaking human, and you don't know how to treat humans. So this is where we'll part ways." And then he yelled at me, you can't do that. You've got this and that. And I said, "You know what? I'll figure it out for myself. You're trying to kill me. I'm not down for that. You can't help me. Thank you for the guidance or lack thereof. Have a great life and I'll never see you again." And I didn't, you know, and walked away and never went back.
Or referred any of your patients to that person.
Oh, you know, girl, let me tell you, I started pulling patients away. It's like, if you're seeing him, you can't see me. No, he and I were not congruent anymore. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Good for you. Good for you to stand up and be an advocate for yourself. Because a lot of people aren't. They will just take whatever the specialist says for face value. And like you said, they're just checking off boxes. They're just following protocol.
Exactly.
And we are not protocols. We are not algorithms.
Right.
We're humans.
Yeah. And that was exactly my rebuttal to him was, you don't know how to treat people. You only know how to treat boxes. And I'm a person. And, you know, and my case was so difficult. And I get that it was, you know, it was the 2018 case presentation for the Endocrine Society conference. And he came back and he said, "They don't know what to do with you. You might have this, but you might not, but you might have this, but you might not. So we're going to give you a drug that has the risk of death for something I don't know that you don't have, but I don't know that you do have it either. But since we're all stumped, we're just going to give you this drug. And by the way, the drug just got FDA approval 3 weeks ago." Mm-mm. No, we're not. We're 100% doing the opposite of that. No, we're not doing that. No.
All the while, he probably didn't mention you should avoid gluten. You should avoid dairy. Right. Probably didn't say a word about that.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Diet never came up. Yeah. Diet never once came up. Yeah.
That's frustrating. So your patients are very blessed to have you because you have the knowledge and you have the testimony and experience of being that patient and saying, "I know how you're going to be treated if you go down this road, and I know how I can treat you and what I have learned, and you are going to be much better off this way."
Right. Yeah.
And that's part
of the
benefit.
And I'm very honest. And, you know, I'm very honest with my patients. Like, listen, at the end of the day, I too am an autoimmune patient. Like, I get it. It sucks. Been there, done that, could write the book, you know? So, you know, it's just, I think it's validation for them, especially, you know, when you have a patient whose provider is wearing their heart on their sleeve saying, "Hey, you know, I'm a spoonie too, right? I'm an autoimmune spoon warrior too. And, you know, we'll spoonie together here." Yeah. And I'm very honest about, you know, when I'm having a brain foggy day, I walk in, I'm like, "Listen, I'm having an autoimmune day. I'm probably going to forget half of this. So bear with me. Like, I'm going to take notes because I'm going to walk out of the room and I'm not going to remember what the hell I said."
That's okay. We're all allowed those days. I have those days and I don't even have the excuse of an autoimmune disorder.
Yeah. So they get it. And I think they appreciate the honesty, you know?
Yeah. When you can be relational with your patients, that means so much to them because it just shows that you're human and that you care. And then they begin to care, you know? So,
well, and I think one of the things that DPC does is it gives us the ability to have this really unique relationship. So I've had a few patients over the years that have had some big cancer diagnoses. And one of them was a single guy. And I knew what the diagnosis was going to be, and I didn't want him going through it alone. So I told my staff, "Cancel clinic. He's going to get his diagnosis. I need to go with him." Mm. And I went to most of his appointments with him, and, you know, his oncologist and his surgeons were all amazed, like, "You're his primary care. Why are you here?" And I said, "Because A, he has mouth cancer. He can't speak for himself. And B, I'm his best advocate. Why would I not be here? I'm here to tell you what you may and may not do. That is my job for him." And you know, I don't know. Well, I definitely know. Well, you all know. Had I been in a regular, right, fee-for-service system, I would have never had the luxury of time to take off and handhold him all the way through the end of his life. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, literally until the day he died, I held hands. We went through everything together. You know, I knew what he wanted. We'd had those conversations, and I was able to go into the oncologist, into the hospice team, and say, "Hey, here's what he wants. But more importantly, here's what he does not want." So
talk to me about how you came up with your membership fees that you charge your patients, and what does that look look like?
Yeah. So it was an evolutionary process. So in the beginning, I did what I saw online, everybody else did, and I did the age tiers. And I realized pretty quickly that that was really sucky because as people aged up, their fee went up for being a day older. And it was things that I had to chase. And I was like, great, now you're 65. So now I got to do all this extra stuff. So then I changed it and we went to the flat fee that I'm at now, which is $80 for adults, $40 for kids, $180 if they want the deeper dive program. So we have kind of three different programs that I do in the office. The basic DPC we call foundational membership. That's just our basic primary care. Then we have what's called the health optimizer. That's my root cause folks. That's the folks we're doing a deeper dive. We're doing detoxes. We're doing whatever. And then I have some folks that I strictly just manage hormones and they keep their own PCP and I strictly just take over hormone therapy.
Are those part of your 200 patients that you have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what type of software program do you use to manage memberships and what is your EMR? Okay. You told me you use Atlas MD.
I am a hardcore Atlas gal.
All right. Tell me why.
So, you know, it's an all-in-one, right? It was made for DPC by DPC docs. And although I don't love that Dr. Umber is not as pro NP as I would like him to be, he has an amazing platform and it literally is an all-in-one. So I run my entire office from that. All of our patient communication is done through that, video chats with patients, all of my pharmacology, you know, my entire pharmacy room inventory is done through Atlas. We do all of our supplement billing through Atlas, scheduling for all of our, you know, our regular visits, but you know, we do a lot of IV stuff and my hypnotherapy, all of that gets managed through one platform. It's easy. It's affordable. My e-prescribe is through that. Like, I just love it. And they're constantly adding things. So fall of last year, we got AI added. So now I can record a conversation with a patient. I can hit a button and it converts my entire conversation into a note. Done. Takes me like 2 minutes to write a note now. Perfect. I got to proofread it. I got to tweak it. I got to adjust it, sign it, and I'm done. Like, you can't beat it. And the support is 110%.
So you don't use anything else? Like it manages the memberships. Can you text?
It does it all.
Can you text?
We text, we video chat, all the emails that the patients come in. And if I'm emailing them, it all goes automatically right into their chart. So there's not extra steps for that. You know, we can take pictures. You know, let's say I'm doing a skin check and I've got a suspicious lesion. I want to take some measurements. I'll take a picture right in their chart so I can track it next year or in 6 months or whatever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You've inspired me.
Yeah. It's worth the $300. It is $300 a provider, but it's totally worth it.
Well, I'm still using the EMR that I had when I was fee for service because I just switched to DPC a year ago last April. So I'm coming up on a year of DPC, but I was 17 years of fee for service.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible. So I had a great EMR for that purpose. And because I'm still in a contract for the next 2 years, finishing that out, I'm trying to use that EMR. I'm trying to use Stripe to get my memberships, payments and stuff. And so my office manager is having to make all these Excel spreadsheets to manage. It's a mess. So that's why.
What do you use for your accounting?
QuickBooks.
So way back before I used Atlas, I used Office Ally and Practice Fusion, which I think they call something else now. But I used Wave App, which is like the free version of QuickBooks. And it had my recurrent billing in it. So in the beginning, that's what I used. And I would just set up patients on auto pay and we'd put their payment information and it auto drafted every month. And I think they do use Stripe as their platform.
Yeah, Stripe is doing the auto pays, but they do it. They don't remind my patients if their card didn't work or something like that.
Yeah.
So my office manager has to call physically and things like that. So it's a little tedious, but I'm starting to learn that I'm not doing it the best way. And so these interviews are so helpful. Not just for me. Hopefully they'll be helping a bunch of other nurse practitioners because I see this as the future for sure of family practice. And if we're going to change anything about healthcare, it needs to start with family practice. And I think direct primary care is a great way to do that for sure.
Well, and that's why I run that big Facebook group, right? So that we can spread the knowledge and, you know, I never charge anybody for anything. You know, I just believe that, you know, it's that old philosophy, each one reach one, right? If I reach one person who reaches one person who reaches one person, my spread just went exponential. And that's how we change the world. You know, that's how we change people's lives.
So how do you have time to run this Facebook page? Because the Facebook page is amazing. I'm so thankful for it. So tell me how you got started with that and how do you find time for it?
So I've been a member of the page pretty much from the beginning. beginning. Maria was who created it, and she had the tragic loss of her son to an accident a few years ago, and I was already the moderator with her, so she and I had been running the page together for a while. And then when her son died, she reached out and said, I can't do it anymore. I'm closing my practice down. I'm moving away. I'm just shutting down. And I was like, I get it. So I took over fully running the page at that point. So I think I've had page 2, maybe coming up on 3 years. And, you know, I just want it to be an inclusive place. You know, the docs have their own private DPC page, the physicians do. And it, of course, you know, is a Bash NP group. So I made sure I don't let any of them in. And if you've been in it for a while, you haven't seen my questions. But one of the questions I ask is, you know, what's your licensing information? What's your NPI number? And then the second question is, it's a statement that says, if you are a physician, you are not welcome here. You have your own group. Don't even try it. You're not welcome. Find your group. Don't bother us. So I try to keep it, you know, pretty well controlled. Fortunately, there's a lot of really great NPs that have been at this for a while, and they comment a lot and stuff so that I'm not having to do everything. I host a monthly Zoom. It's just an open Zoom call for anybody that wants to jump on and ask questions and talk things through. And how do we do this? And where do you get that? You know, again, it's just, we should all be supporting each other. And that's my way to do it.
I thought it would really be an awesome idea to have a conference just for nurse practitioners and PAs in DPC, like they have the HINT conference and they have the nuts and bolts conference and all that.
Yep.
And we're not really received there very well. So it would be so cool if we could have our own conference. So in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, how can we make this work?
Well, so somebody just reached out to me last week for that very thing and said, hey, I'd like to put a conference on. Can you help me? And I was like, to a certain extent, yes, I can. Like I've got, you know, 4 businesses that I run at the same time, but you know, I'll do what I can. I had looked at years ago in the pre-COVID days, putting on a conference, and I had started to gather all the contacts and stuff, and it just became overwhelming. And I was like, listen, I don't have enough bandwidth to do all of this right now. If somebody wants to do it, I'm all for it and I'm happy to help. I definitely have plenty of resources. I just don't have the time or the energy to create it myself.
Well, I would love to help with that as well, because I was sitting over here thinking, how could I independently make this conference happen?
Yeah. I'm trying. I'll have to think. Somebody had reached out to me literally within the last week and asked me about it and what, you know, what resources I would want there and would I speak? And I said, yeah, of course I'll speak. I'm just not coordinating the thing. So
yes, I know some other good speakers as well. So feel free to give them my contact information.
Yeah. Good.
That would be awesome. Tell me about your other business that you do, your side hustle.
Yeah. So I have a couple of side hustles. So the Peace Center for Healing is kind of my second full-time job, if you will. It's not fully full-time, but it's creeping its way up there. And I am a certified trauma hypnotherapist. And so I do a lot of trauma hypnotherapy. I'm also a Reiki master teacher. So I do a lot of energy work and teaching of energy work. And I host quarterly retreats in my office where we do a lot of hypnotherapy. And I bring in a bunch of my friends that are also various modalities, massage, cranial sacral, reflexology, acupuncture, that type of stuff. And we do a weekend of healing in my office. So that's all under the Peace Center for Healing. And I've had that up and running for, well, I guess it's coming up on 2 years. Actually, January was 2 years. So I opened it 2 years ago. It came to me in a meditation. The entire business structure, the business name, all of it came to me in a meditation. So Peace stands for Personal Esoteric Ascending Consciousness and Evolution. Came along with my spiritual journey. And so that is that side one. I'd call that side hustle one. Side hustle two is I created a business last year with my oldest daughter, who at the time was breastfeeding my grandson and was very heavily endowed in the chest area. And we just could not find her bras. We had gone on a weekend bra hunt. We had even gone out of town, couldn't find this poor kid a bra. And she just had a hysterical meltdown and said, Mom, it shouldn't be this hard. And I said, it won't be. This is done. Mom will start a bra company. You'll never be without a bra again. Done. So we started the Bra Emporium. And that is a bra company that specializes in those unique sizes. So we started a 28D and we go up to a 48M.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
and how's that business going? How's that going?
That's really starting to take off. So I told my daughter, I will front you all of the money. I'll create the business. Everything will be in my name. And then once it starts to get busy, you can take it over and I'll hand it to you and it'll be your project. We're working on that. She started doing monthly pop-up shops and various boutiques around town. And that's really taking off. We're starting to get orders from across the country, which I don't really know how, because we don't advertise outside of Charleston, but it is what it is. And probably because there's one of our vendors, we have two manufacturers that we use. Neither one of them are from the US. And so one of them is a world renowned brand and we're one of two companies that carry their brand in the country.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And are all of of these companies kind of in the same, under the same roof?
Yes. So thankfully, my Low Country Wellness Center office is a good space. I use my actual office to do my hypnotherapy. I have a zero gravity chair in my office and sound bowls and all of my music stuff. I have a very large office, so I do my hypnotherapy in there. In our break room, which is also very large, houses the bra emporium. So there's racks and racks of beautiful bras sitting in our break room that we'll pull out when we have either somebody coming in for a fitting or if we're doing an event, we'll pull them up to the front. So
it's not a place they just come in and they just do a bunch of shopping. They're like, oh, I'm just looking for a bra today.
It's done by appointment only. Either I do the fittings myself, my daughter, who's the nurse, will do the fitting, usually one of the two of us. And Caitlin is my oldest daughter. She's kind of the fetcher and the sales girl, where Haley and I, the two medical ones, do all of the fittings and stuff. So,
well, that's very interesting. You're an interesting person.
Yeah. And then my last, well, actually I have two more side hustles. My husband and I he's a custom home builder. So we build and flip houses. That's a way that we make our investment money. So we build custom homes and then just sell them. And then I also own a franchise. So I have that as well. I own an internet franchise business.
Internet franchise business. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you, in addition to your nurse practitioner degree, do you have like a business degree as well?
No.
How do you know how to do all that?
I don't know. Probably because I'm a manifesting generator. So if anybody's familiar with human design, you'll know that personality type, that archetype, we are the overachievers. We are the big idea people and the implementers all in one. And it works out that I'm a manifesting generator. My middle daughter is also a manifesting generator. So I think it's just what it is. My daughters are all self-employed as well. And it's just what we do. We're just a house full of entrepreneurs.
That's great.
Yeah.
It has been a pleasure talking to you, and you have good information. I'm really excited about all of your endeavors, actually. And so if someone wanted to reach out to you, if they had questions for you about things that you're doing, how can they reach you?
Yeah. Email is probably the fastest. It's Penny, P-E-N-N-I, at Low Country. That's one word, LOWCOUNTRY-wellness.com. So that's my office email. Come straight to my phone.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being willing to be interviewed today. And
yes, thank you.
Best of luck to you.
Thanks. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the DPCNP. We hope you found our conversation insightful and informational. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing to our podcast so that you do not miss an update. And don't forget to leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps others discover our show. We love hearing from our listeners. Feel free to connect on our social media, share your thoughts, your suggestions, and even topic ideas for future episodes. As we wrap up today, we are so grateful that you chose to spend a part of your life with us. Until next time, take care. This is Amanda Price signing off. See you on the next episode.